Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Neil and Kristen Baker Psychic Hour. Good morning, Neil.
Good morning.
Today, we are going to be starting the show with our discussion and then getting to your calls. We see that there are several callers in the queue. So callers, I'm going to just let them know what the order is, and then that will assure them that they're getting readings. 443 area code, 519 and 315. We see you in the queue. We're going to be getting to your calls in about 15 minutes or so. We usually discuss our topic prior to taking calls. The last couple shows, we did not do that, so we're going to be going back to that format today because we've got to get our discussion in. But rest assured that we're going to be getting to your calls shortly. So please keep your place in the queue so we can maintain the order. Want to invite our callers and listeners to join us on Facebook, on Twitter. Those accounts are linked under our Blog Talk Radio profile, Neil and Kristen Baker Psychic. 914-338-0164 is the call-in number. And if you'd like to speak with us callers, please press 1 on your handset. 562-596-7818 is the number to call for further conversation after the radio show. But we are discussing astral dangers today, Neil.
Yeah.
Lots of dangers in the astral realm. Aside from the ones we encounter in our physical world, you have to be very skilled when working in the astral realm, traveling to the astral realm. We do often in our sleep. Some of us can consciously astral project, but caution must be exercised for sure.
That's absolutely true. It is beyond a fact that...
Beyond a fact.
Because we're dealing with a compounded situation. When we enter the astral realm, and there is an astral realm, I mean, there's not a literal fact about there being an astral realm, but there is a facts beyond the literal mind that there is an astral realm. And, I mean, it's hard to validate that, but again, we're dealing with the vocabulary of soul and spirit.
Right, and you know, when you said compounded, it just made me think of past lives. So, I mean, this is another aspect of the astral realm. When we enter the astral realm, we start to enter the territory of our past lives, which can be very dangerous.
Dangerous to the extent that, well, when you enter the element of the past life, you're actually dealing with energy that is actively involved in the astral realm, even though in the physical realm, it's already come and gone.
Right.
But it's still there as energy fields. And so when the soul leaves the body temporarily and ventures into these realms, there is this active energy going on that exceeds the normal boundaries of time and space, and so therefore there can be some activated energy within the soul. And as long as the soul is connected to the body via that silver cord, the body receives the energy as well. But beyond that, I mean, aside from that, the vocabulary that we're speaking of in the astral realm is vital to our concerns, because when we enter that realm, we become very vulnerable. Just like if a 5-year-old enters the city on their own, they're vulnerable. Children are very vulnerable to supervision or the lack of supervision without an adult.
Right, and you hear stories, obviously, you know, where there are children without supervision that are found on a busy street.
Yeah, they're very vulnerable.
Which is, you know, obviously a dangerous situation.
And to lead onto that thought, forward, the children are very exposed to the astral field, and that's why they have nightmares and all kinds of things can happen with children. They're very susceptible to danger when they venture into the astral
right.
field.
Right, and as a child, you're kind of closer to the astral realm because there's been less time elapsed since entering the physical body. Whereas an adult, I mean, I know that there are dangers for anyone in the astral realm, but there's, you know, a closer tie because you know.
Yeah, and you know, you have to imagine what, you know, we talk about the terrible twos and the children wandering with curiosity into, you know, without supervision, they have no sense of what's dangerous and they just will go off on their own. The same thing with a child's soul. Even though there may be, it may be a compounded situation of it being an old soul, and that to the extent that a child's soul is filled with other past lives, still in the current state of consciousness, when a child enters the astral realm, it's very much exposed to danger. So imagine a child leaving a house, crawling into the street, not knowing that there's cars going by, and getting hit. A child moving into the astral realm, entities that are not friendly and good-natured will look upon this energy field as something it can prey upon, and thereby children can be very susceptible to all kinds of aggravated behavior out there, and then they wake up with terrible nightmares, aside from the fact that it was just not a nightmare, but something that happened. When we talk about nightmares, we're also talking about the ride, that, if you will, the mare, the horse, ride into the astral realm
about
on the wings of spiritual energy. So when we get in there, what can we expect to encounter? Not alone being children, because we are children at heart, all children of God, if you will, but in this fact that we are all susceptible to elements of the astral realm pertaining to our particular situation. We have inhabitants out there that are demons, that have never occupied a human body, but find humans to be total prey. They're actually, humans are things they feed upon. That's all they want. Because in the demon world, whatever is the antithesis of God's treasures is going to be, to them, it's the antithesis of God's treasures. To them, it's just something that they can help to corrupt the higher elements with. So they look at human beings as part of their domain, and they want to claim their souls, which is a direct disobedient energy towards God. They claim the souls. So when they see the souls outside of the body, it's a rare opportunity for them imagine a woman walking naked in the city, and the city's filled with criminals. Good luck. This is the same way that we as souls look to the demons when we're out there in the astral realm.
Right, and the more spiritual soul is, the higher a soul is in terms of the spiritual work that they're doing on the planet, the more interested a demon is going to be in.
Oh yeah, you know,
attacking
that's true.
That soul.
If you use the analogy that I was using, the crude analogy of a female, male or female, I don't want to get into sexuality here, walking down the street and you have somebody who is not very attractive and somebody who is totally attractive, they're going to be absolutely more prone to invasion from an evil force than not. Same thing with the elevated sense of a soul. The higher the soul is, the more attractive they are to a demon or a malevolent. Yeah. So they're out there. Not only that, but there are also in the astral realm human souls.
Right, and they're on different levels. I mean, there are human souls that are working through tremendous amounts of karma, so they're in darker
elements.
They can
be darker. There can be suicides out there that are trapped, murder victims, people who are just evil, who died early, and they're kind of suspended in the astral realm. They're all out there. Now, they're not all evil, but there is a desperate energy in the field of a soul that was once a human being. When they encounter a living human being soul in the astral realm, they might want to utilize their energy. They might want to cling to them. Some of them are safety figures. A person can go out into the astral realm and encounter a soul that was once a human and be protected. There are those out there. It's the same as life when you use the analogy. But when we go out into the astral realm, we can and often do encounter evil spirits or spirits that are rowdy. Now, rowdy spirits would be like a person entering a bar and there's a lot of rowdy people there. They don't mean you any harm, but they're not the best citizens
right.
in the world. And so sometimes people will have dreams that they're in a room with a lot of loud people and they don't know who they are and they don't recognize any faces. You've entered a realm where there is a collection of souls, typically human, once human beings, who have gathered together in a rowdy position of the astral realm, and you've stumbled there, and you're going to find yourself somewhat lost, bewildered, unanchored, because you're dealing with entities that were rowdy in life, and they have continued the process of that energy in the astral realm. And in recognizing you as a human being connected to a living body, they may actually come up and interact with you in such a way that you see it and feel it in the dream world that you happen to be in.
Yeah, I actually had a dream a few months ago about, I was in a room, like a home, but it was in the kitchen specifically, and there was a fire on a stove from someone making a sandwich. And I said, "What are you doing?" I didn't know any of these people. I said, "What are you doing?" And I pulled the pan off the stove and they said, "Oh, okay, Mom." So I remember relaying the dream to you, and you know, it was that specific situation, lower astral realm that I had entered. And I was being the caretaker in the situation. These were obviously kind of lost souls.
And because you were taking on a demanding, commanding role, authoritative role, they were mocking you. But you know, those weren't dangerous.
No, they were dangerous, but they were exactly, and that's the last thing we were talking about, is the rowdy spirits.
The funny thing about when you enter the astral realm, sometimes it's equatable to what you're doing in the physical world. In our situation, if we're trying to guide people, work with people, help people out, get them corrected in a way to where they can be in alignment with their chakras, that kind of command that we hold in the physical world will mark our energy in the astral realm. And entities will see us as, "Oh, you guys are the caretakers. Oh, you're so goody-goody." And they'll you know, act accordingly to the level of energy that they're existing on. And some will be downright anxiously mean with sheer weaponry, because they would think that anyone working in the element, or at least attempting to work in the element of light, is a sheer enemy on their part. So you have those zones going on. Now, what can we do briefly? We're going to get to our call.
Yeah, we've got a long list.
We got about 60 more seconds here, folks.
Well, maybe 2 minutes. You can finish, and we can continue this on Friday.
Don't underestimate, and I'll say it again, don't underestimate the value of breath before leaving your body at night. Lay down, you know, now I lay me down to sleep, pray to the Lord my soul to keep. There's a certain childish element there that brings us into a more of an adult mentality, meaning that when you go to bed at night, you're going to be leaving your body. Somewhere in time and space, you'll be leaving your body and astral projecting, because the third eye just leaves. It's like bats being drawn out of a cave. It's just the gravitational pull, the magnetic pull, everything. And the fact that the soul has to be released from the body at times, it's very confining for the soul to be in there, for the astral body to be in there. And when it leaves, it doesn't always have the sheer protection that would otherwise be available. So you've got to think consciously of angels and guides and spirits. Your personal guide is not really one that will can protect you. Your personal guide is a guide. They're not a protector. That's the protection elements come from somebody else. So it's like saying, you know, I'm going to go into a crowd, a den of thieves, and I'll bring my teacher with me to protect. No, you bring the police force with you. So a teacher, a guide, is not the same as a protector.
Right, but it takes more than just calling on angels to be protected, because that's not always going to work. I mean,
no, it isn't. You need to call on Aykroyd and Bill Murray for the Ghostbusters, right? What you really need to do is what you have to do is you have to have a familiar energy with angelic beings. You have to get in there and start to converse through your conscious hours so that they know you, that you're not just a stranger. And so that's very important before you actually leave the body, that you spend some conscious effort to connect to spirits that are protective.
Right. So having an ongoing regular relationship with spirits and angels is going to help protect.
The right kind, yes.
The right kind, and something that is authentic. But Neil, I think we need to get to some callers, and then we can continue this on Friday. Okay, so the order stands as it was, but I think we've dropped some people. They get impatient. Okay, so I will take 519, who I called first. Hello.
Hello, are you there?
We're here. Are you there?
Oh, sure. Well, sometimes I wonder where I am.
That's okay. You're here now. Same.
Thank you so much for taking my call. So my question is, you know, I know that so much has changed in this world right now, and the energies are just, every moment they're new and they're different. And the physical body, especially mine, is having a little bit of a difficult time staying in that homeostasis place. It seems to have a lot of nervous energy inside, high heart rate, things like that, and I've been sort of struggling with this for the past year.
Okay.
So, mm-hmm.
So you're wondering about that? That's the question?
Yes.
Okay, what's your name?
Judy.
Judy. And Judy, what is your birth date?
March 14th, 57.
Okay, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 18. And 12. She's a 30 equals 3. Mm-hmm. So, Judy, real quick, in 1987, can you go back to 1987 and tell us what happened that year?
No. I know my twins would have been 3.
I'm sorry?
I'm just thinking of where I was. My twins would have been 3. I raised 5 kids on my own, so I was still struggling.
And your twins were 3. That's interesting because it's your master number 3. So, and that was the time of your karmic change when you were 30 years old. So that's significant. Anything else before we move on?
No, I mean, it was a rough life, you know?
I've had
many, many experiences.
Well, let's see what we got here.
You know,
what's
going on? You're saying you're having heart.
Hard life?
No, hard life, yes. But she was saying on a physical level right now, she's been experiencing things with her heart. Did you say heart?
Well, yeah, it's like this nervous energy that runs through my body, and I can tell that blood pressure rises and heart rate rises.
She's got a four in her fire number.
Yeah, let's explain some things. Number one, your master number is 3. It's made up of 30 years of extreme karma. You are 60 now, so you've gone through 2 cycles of 30 years. You're at an element, Judy, where you are experiencing a renewal of or revisiting of karma. And because your energy is very interesting for you, Judy, 3 and 1 equals 4, and that's your third number. Now, 1957, actually, that's a 13 equals 4.
Which is in the first 2.
And that is equatable to your first 2 numbers. 4 is your heart chakra. So your heart is going to be the receiving end of anxiety. What's happening on the planet for you right now is the universe is kind of saying, you know, energies are trying to say, okay, Judy, let's stop. You've gone through 2 cycles of karma right now, and we need to look at your life and see what your progress report is. Now, you still have some energies of fears and anxieties and unresolved issues. So what they do is they start to tap those nerves. And these are as celestial beings. They start to tap those nerves and they go, ah, you're still a little touchy there. You haven't resolved some of the issues that you came down to resolve. Now, they may be involved in the self-esteem, the ego energies of your world of thinking, things that you quite haven't, you might have grown past them, but you're still holding on to them in some respects. So there's certain elements of a diffusion of parental energy that wasn't real healthy, and some of your upbringing that started to mold you into the person you are today. Well, you're still carrying some of those agendas in your emotional field. We're talking about your emotional body now. And in your emotional state, what the universe is saying is, you know, you're 60. Maybe you got about 30 years. Maybe you're two-thirds of your life through if you're lucky. But here's the last third, and let's check out how you're doing before you actually leave the planet and you want a clean record. Well, we got some things to work on. So at some point, was there some therapy you went through?
In the past, but I went into religion and then cults and then left there and then had my own relationship with my source energy. So not really therapy. I would say there's been a lot of inner work done over the years on myself.
Okay, but was there ever in your life, anywhere in your past
life,
did you have therapy?
Yes.
I don't care how long or how intense. Did you ever go to a therapist?
Yes.
Yeah, that's all I'm talking about, Judy. I don't
want to confuse that with all the other energy.
Yeah, I just want to go back there like we're in a time machine and just look at that moment. That's all I want to do. Why were you in therapy?
Well, it wasn't extended. I think from time to time I would seek out things or my mom would ask me to talk to someone from time to time, and I never stuck with it because, I mean, when I was a child at 6 years old, I ran out of the dentist's office with my babysitter because I was scared of what the dentist was going to do, so I ran out on my own.
Well, that's a past life situation. It has to do with some current energy of fear that children can have, but you're in a past life situation. Here's one of your dilemmas. You're a very creative human being, and you are a very creative, perceptive child. And that energy was not handled well within your family zone because they didn't understand you. They saw you as sort of freakish that needed help. Am I right?
Yep, of course.
Yeah. So that element became a problem to you because you weren't being validated for being just a creative child and nurtured under those contexts. You were told there was something wrong with you, and you were threatened by anybody that would otherwise try to correct you into being somebody that you weren't, that you didn't feel you were. Am I right?
Yep, absolutely.
So those energies, Judy, are coming back to kind of visit you again and saying, you know, in some regards, no matter the fact that you're 60, they're still part of that element that you're still carrying as an energy source within you, and we got to resolve it. We got to get past it on a mature level so that you're not susceptible to that kind of emotional state, even though in current years you have seemed to have grown away from it.
Right, and it's a good time to resolve it because she's just turned 60. So it's that second, like you said, Neil, the second cycle of 30. Any suggestions that we can give her?
Well, you know, the awareness is knowledge, a little knowledge, a little awareness is good here. So understanding where it's coming from is good. So you don't have to panic. You relax your heart. There's nothing wrong physically wrong with you, I don't think. And we're just psychics, but that's what we think. What's going on is your heart is an emotional turmoil.
And it's going back to that.
Yeah.
Karmic place where she was as a child. Obviously, she didn't feel too secure in her upbringing.
Right. So you can go back there and reinvent a superwoman that gets past all this stuff in your mind now. You fantasize a superwoman, you know, killing off all the invaders of your experiences.
Yeah.
Or you go through, you know, you find somebody that can guide you and talk to you and help you through it. The first way is a lot cheaper and easier, and the second way is a little bit more costly.
You know, just for our notes, Judy, when were you involved in the cults that you referenced earlier? Do you know what time frame?
Yeah, let's see. I would have been, 35, maybe, 37. See, there's just been so much happening in my life.
Yeah.
37. It's in your code.
35 is actually your 3 and 1 4 put together.
It's also her 3 and her year. But, yeah. And she's got 5 kids.
37 is her first and last numbers.
Right.
So you probably had a past life with some kind of witch Sabbath type thing. Who knows?
Something like that. Witch Sabbath.
I know I was.
Witch Sabbath is witch Sabbath. So we'll be talking. Maybe
I don't know. You're making up all these new terms today. It's good.
Well, it's okay.
Maybe we can write a glossary.
But there's some element of the occult in one of your past lives.
Yep, I know it. I've always felt it.
Okay, well, you know, we got to move on to other callers. But Judy, hopefully this has been helpful to you. I think there's some good advice that's been given and some, you know, solid validation. So definitely go forward. You're always welcome to call our show again, or you can call 562-596-7818 for more conversation, for a deeper investigation.
Thank you so much, guys. This was awesome. Great validation for me to know that it is all emotional for sure, you know?
Definitely. Well, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye.
Okay, 323 is our next caller. Hello.
Hello, how are you?
Fine, thanks. How are you?
I'm doing well, thank you. My name is Rodman Delancey. I'm looking for a reading, please.
Okay.
Rodman?
Yeah, first name
Rodman.
Only.
It's, Rodman? It's Rodman Delancey. Yes.
Rodman, R-O-D-M-A-N. Yeah, but don't give
Rodman
your last
Delancey.
Name. Radio, not good.
Oh, no problem. Rodman Delancey.
Okay. Birth date.
Yeah, Rodman, what's your birth date?
My birth date is September 7th, 1967.
Okay, Neil.
Well,
I'll let you handle this.
Well, you know. Well,
what's so funny?
There's a compounded energy in your life, Rodman, which brings out a certain division of duality. So a man such as yourself, the complexity of this could involve having gone through distinctly two different professions within your lifetime. In other words, you were one thing and then you switched into doing something else. Now, that may not be, you know, totally accurate, but first of all, there may be some indication that you have changed professions so far within your lifetime. So let's check out that one first. Have you done that?
First off, you're totally wrong. I am psychic Rodman Delancey, and if you were real psychics, you would have known that I was a real psychic. So your psychic reading is total bullshizer. What do you say about that, fake psychics?
Well, you know, then number one, what I'm impressed with is how you jump to conclusions, because my aspect of being a duality, I was going to get to the point that you have two psychic things going on, Rodman. One
sure
is
you were wrong again. Wrong again.
Well, let me get I haven't gotten to the point, Rodman, yet where I review you as a liar.
You're the liar. You're the fake psychic. Trust me, I know.
Yeah, well,
and I said all the.
He's stupid.
Let me tell you this,
he's
because
so stupid.
I love playing with people like you. It's entertaining to me, but I'm not going to let you occupy the whole show.
But I'm the one playing with you. I am the one playing with you, phony psychic.
Oh, you
are on my show.
You have so this is fun. You have so many problems with your world. That you think that by calling up a psychic show and attacking
fake
the
psychic
people,
show.
Attacking
fake psychic show, fake
okay,
psychic.
You want to call it? What comes out of your mouth is what comes out of your tongue, which comes out of your soul and spirit.
What comes out of your mouth comes out of my ass. Shiza.
Oh, you are fantastically what a sacred spiritual person you are. That you think you can attack. Individuals like us by being vile and obscene and taking up people's time that needs help. Now, listen to this. We run the show.
I'm not attacking. I'm just.
Bye-bye.
I'm just.
And
no,
you're stupid. I know. No,
you're
stupid.
You're stupid
to do this.
No,
you have no
I'm
idea
just,
who you're messing with.
No,
no idea.
I'm just warning.
He's gone. Okay. Let's bring on 315. Hi there. We're so sorry about that.
That's okay. I'm also sorry about that myself because I enjoy your show and I just wanted to mention that right off the bat.
Well, we appreciate it. I mean, you know, people are, they have issues, but we
right.
can handle it.
Well, whenever you deal with the public, that's a known factor.
Yeah,
for sure. I lost part of the show. I probably hung up on you by mistake, just walking around my home. But basically, Neil was talking about in your dream state, and I have a question because, like, I call into a lot of psychic shows because I'm interested in it.
Who is this, by the way?
My name's Annette, and I'm from
okay,
New York.
Okay, Annette. Yeah, yeah,
I'm
I know
awfully
who you
sorry.
Are.
That other okay. phone call kind of just took me right for a surprise. You know what I mean?
Don't
Why
worry about
with...
it. It's... Don't worry. So
yeah.
What is your birth date? And again, Annette?
12-13-59.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Uh-huh.
Go ahead.
Okay. My question is... Like other shows that I call into, they always say to write down things you remember in your dream, okay? I don't remember my dreams. I mean, I might remember one dream, seriously, in every 3 months.
Wow.
So, yeah. I mean, and it's upsetting because I am interested in this kind of thing. And why is it that I can't remember my dreams? And I've also noticed that my memory during the day has also slipped. Which I
really
used to have
and
a really good memory.
So did you
yeah.
did you in the past have better? I mean, obviously you're saying it slipped, so there was better recall. But did you have an excellent memory, or would you say not so good memory in your earlier?
My father always used to call me the walk-in telephone book because I used to run his business, and once I heard
right.
a telephone number, I could remember it. Now I can't even, you know what I mean? I know we've gotten lazy with, like, cell phones because they hold the phone, you know, they hold the phone numbers in your contact
right,
list,
so
you don't have to remember.
Right.
Right. And I have been put on a lot of medication in the last, year, basically, about the last year to the total of 9 prescriptions because they found that I have an inherited immune system. My immune system is limited. So what I'm getting at is, do you feel that it's my medications that's doing this? You
well,
know?
Part of, I mean, I think that can certainly affect your dreams and your memory. And the side effects of the medications that you're on, I mean, it'd be a good idea to research it. That's just common sense. But as far as your
right.
dreams are concerned, Annette, I would consciously try to set yourself up at night before you go to bed and program your mind to remember the dreams. You know, it may not happen immediately, but if you start to work with, you know, 15 to 20 minutes or even 10 minutes prior to going to sleep and consciously stating to yourself that you want to have recall, writing down the dreams that you do remember, and, you know, starting to put active energy into it, I think there's going to be an increase. Neil, what do you think?
Well, yeah, the thing too on that is, when we are in the dream world, some of the energies are psychological in nature, so they're maintained in our immediate brain. Other parts of our dream world involves an astral body projection out of the body,
which often aren't recalled by most people.
Yeah, you're not always going to get that information. You're not always going to be able to retrieve that information because you're actually leaving your body. And the consciousness, the awareness is delivered and transferred from a silver cord of energy. And that is sometimes not so easily retrieved when you wake up because the soul, it's in your soul, it's in your deep brain. So that's why some people will go to a hypnotist or somebody and tap into their dream world, what they had, they maintained it in their deeper energies. What you're going through, and because you have this immune system that's a little bit limited, so your body is in a little bit of a war system, and there's a little bit of a contrast going on between the body, the consciousness, and the soul. So there might be some elements going on in your soul energy that is not accessible to your consciousness, because the soul may be dealing with matters that are too really going to be too serious for your consciousness to handle. So what the soul does is it leaves the body and starts to work out this karma that's going on without having your consciousness pay for it. And that might be one element that might be a protective factor in terms of you not retrieving all of your dreams. Now, if you're going to attempt to retrieve those dreams, then you should do it with under the supervision of somebody who can help explain, guide you through.
You're talking about, you're talking about like going into a, you know, psychic to discuss the dreams or to have guidance. But there's a way that she can remember more details, I think, by consciously setting out to do it.
Yeah, I mean, there might be some medication. There might be something you're taking that might be stopping.
Did you have dream recall like before you started taking the medication, or have you always had a problem remembering your dreams?
I would say that the dreams that I remember, unfortunately, are the bad dreams. You know, like a nightmare. You know.
But is there a difference? Is there a difference since your medication in your dream recall?
No, it's the same thing. If I do remember it, it's something bad normally, you know?
Yeah. There's two parts to that. We were talking about the war of the body over the spirit. So if you're remembering your nightmares and that, there's something you are then thereby receiving in terms of the duality of your energy. Now, that could be traced back to maybe on the immediate stage of life. Were you exposed to arguments with your parents? Was there a hostile environment that you grew up in, for instance?
I had an abusive relationship like 8 years ago where I was pretty fearful, but that's done and over with, you know.
But going back even further, I think, was there anything in childhood? What was your family life like when you were?
Three generations, and we got along pretty well, but the three-generation deal kind of had conflicts, you know.
Well, there might be some traceable element to that. There's obviously something going on in the if you will, the war path of your soul that you're trying to work out. And if you do retrieve dreams that are more violent or nightmarish in nature, then those dreams would have to be articulated and analyzed by someone who is pretty good at looking at dreams and reaching into the symbolism of what's going on. So we'd have to look at those things in more detail in order to bring more highlight and insight into what you're experiencing. Mm-hmm. So in that regard, it would demand a further discussion. But, you know, because we have other callers, I mean, do we have a lot of other callers?
We have a couple, and we've got 20 minutes. Is there any dream that you want to share quickly, Annette, with us that you do remember?
It's just a simple thing. But my father has passed on, and for whatever reason, he was trying to give me, like, a silver hoop. You know, it was, like, kind of like a hula hoop. It's the best way I can explain it. And when psychics read me, they always bring in my father. My father and I were very close, even though I didn't grow up with him, but I ended up helping him in business. So I ended up, you know, from like 16 on, there was like 20 years that he and I worked together. So we got really close in that time.
Okay. But there was, I want to go back real quick because the question earlier was about family dynamic. And it sounds like there was actually a division with father in the early family dynamic.
Yeah, my parents were divorced since I was one.
Yeah, so that's exactly what was being asked. Okay, go on.
So basically, in my dream, my father just was handing me like a silver hoop. You know, it was like a silver hoop. It's about the best way I can explain it.
That sounds, you know.
Okay, so that silver hoop is a chakra energy. And
that sounds like an astral dream.
Yeah, it is an astral dream. And so he's handing you a silver hoop because what he's giving you in the astral realm is protection.
Okay. So, and do you think he actually, I mean, that was his, she was encountering in the dream.
Yeah.
That was really him, his spirit.
Well, and he was giving her a silver hoop for protection because she has nightmares. So he's validating that you're entering into the wilderness of the astral field, an area of your soul's journey where there could be some dangerous matters that you're contending with.
Wow.
Concerning matters. So he's handing you a silver hoop as a form of astral protection. It's an instrument of protection in the astral realm. So he does that with a loving kindness from his heart. And that's what he's providing for you in the dream. The rest of the content of the dream we can't get into, but from there we would then thereby discuss the matter of what some of these nightmares were consisting of.
But I think what's significant is that, you know, and that could have told us about a psychological dream that was not, you know, astral in nature. And she's actually going into the astral, and what she brought us was an astral dream where she encountered her father, and, you know, he was trying to protect her. I mean, that's pretty cool, I think.
Yeah.
So, anyway, Annette, hopefully that helps.
Yes, it does. And he was the protective type, so I know that you've read me right. Let's just put it that way, you know.
Okay. Let's just put it that
way. I appreciate that.
Okay, Annette.
It's
well, thank
you. It's comforting, you know.
Yeah, okay. For sure. Okay,
thank you.
Thank
you so much.
You're welcome. Okay, let's bring on 819. Hi, who's this?
Hi, my name is Sharon.
Hi, Sharon.
How are you?
Fine, thanks. How are you?
I'm doing okay. I'm actually nervous that my husband's going to leave me. And first of all, I want to apologize for that man who called earlier. It was really horrible.
Oh.
Well, thank you.
Thank you. We apologize.
No problem.
What's your birth date?
August 2nd, 1970.
1970. Okay. Oh, 27/9.
And she's concerned about her
husband leaving you. Do you have a birth date for your husband?
Yes, I do. It's September 2nd, 1973.
All right. Wow. Interesting energy in the birth dates. He is a 11/21/31/4. Oh, that's what our former caller was. Okay. Well.
Your husband's master number is 4, and the difference between your karma 27 and his 31 is 4. Also, what we could have, and I don't want to say this with sheer accuracy, but the element of your husband's experiences right now could, I'm not saying it is, but it could involve somebody else other than yourself in terms of another person he may be seeing. Now again,
is it
I don't
a man?
Want to make, I'm sorry?
Do you think it's a man or a woman?
When we're talking about the duality of this situation, Sharon, when we're getting into the aspect of the soul and we're going into that element of energy, I think in your particular case, we're looking at male and female energy being fused together. So whether it is a man or a woman, yes, I guess we could go to a place where we clearly define that. But since you bring it up in context, I would say that it's a lover. Now, the energy of when we look at ourselves as human beings, sometimes I get beyond the sexual energy of whether it's a man or a woman. I really don't. That's not the most pertinent thing to me. I get
right.
to the soul. And so sometimes there is a place where we have to divide the sexual energies. Of course, there's a female, there's a male, but now the energies and the identities are becoming more fused together in terms of what it is to be a human being, not just a sexual male or female, but a human being. There could be in your husband's, quote, husband's attitude, a sensuality towards the male energy. And that, but you see, when we get into that concept, again, we don't want to get entrapped in stereotypes, and we don't want to start labeling sexuality as being either male or female, even though there is that reality essence there. But I sense that, Sharon, that there's a there's something in your world where you have the there's a lifestyle within you where you've been hurt a lot, I think. And when we get into being hurt, when there's a trusting element and you put your heart out and trust somebody and then in turn you get hurt, I think that has a karmic energy in it. And whether you're male or female or how many times you've been a male or how many times you've been a female, right now the purpose of this call is to say I'm possibly being hurt somebody and I don't know if I can trust my companion.
And I label you a phony psychic. This is Rodman Delancey, number one psychic. Face me if you are such a great psychic. You are a fake psychic, my friend. If you were a real psychic, you would have known it was me.
Yeah, well, let me tell you something.
We already know.
Let me tell you something, Ronnie, because you're very entertaining, and you move through the energy fields of whatever it is that you want to preoccupy your time with. And I have
calling
no problem.
Out fake psychics. This is why.
I want to rescue
the world from phony psychics.
Yeah, I have no problem dealing with low energies like you. I have no problem at all. So you're not intimidating us or revealing us on any level. That's not the purpose.
I just did reveal you. I just did reveal you.
No, don't get into that.
I'd rather be an idiot than a fake psychic.
Let me ask you something, famous psychic.
Go ahead. Yeah. Und ja.
Well, don't interrupt me. Let me speak too. What do you do with your life? If you're
I'm a psychic.
What do you do? How do you provide help for people?
I provide help for people by calling out fake psychics like you who are giving bad psychic readings to the general public.
So do you think that's really helping? I'm not asking you to be a policeman. I'm asking
you. You don't have to scream at me.
I won't scream.
Well,
Calm down. Calm down.
I'm asking
both of you.
What do you do to help people? So you establish yourself as being a psychic hunter and revealing all these phony people out there. But what do you do also in turn to help the public aside from that?
I help the public with my psychic readings for free. I don't charge them.
Are we charging?
Well, you take people
off the air and you charge them, fake psychics.
So how do we get a hold of you? What's your phone number and how do people, if people really want to believe in you and want to make access to your information, how do they get a hold of you? Go ahead and give your phone number and how to get a hold of you.
Not a problem, but if you were a real psychic, you would know my phone number using your fake psychic powers. I'll give you my phone number. My name is Rodman Delancey.
There's no one named Rodman.
And my phone number is 1-800. You guys are sucky psychics.
Well, you haven't given your phone number.
You can also find me on Blog Talk Radio under Rodman Delancey if you do a search.
But
and my
number
is 1-800. You guys are the biggest moron psychics in the world.
No, but you haven't given your number yet.
It's 1-323-562-1170.
Okay, so anyone who is out there that feels that you're a really great energy, go ahead and call Rodney, get your
readings.
Rodman.
Okay, I apologize. Go ahead and call Rodman. Get your readings from him and don't call us. If you really feel this is the person you want to speak to, we've given him the mic. We've let him talk. He's attacked us, so he should be feeling very good about himself. And go ahead and call him so that you can keep him busy from having to disturb us.
But we're sorry. We have to move on to other callers.
But I will keep on calling you.
Other callers. And we have Lena on. Hello, Lena.
Oh, my. I can't believe this. I would love to tell that guy off because I've been calling your show for years, and you guys are very accurate. He's an asshole.
Thank you, Lena. And we,
sorry.
We really apologize. we apologize for you having to listen to all that, you know, all of our listeners and followers.
He was an ass. I wouldn't even kept him on the show that long.
Well, anyway, how are you doing?
I'm just a little frustrated because I haven't been able to find a job yet. I was let go on the 18th.
Oh, that's right.
So
and
I'm,
you had that other interview.
Yeah, but I didn't hear back from those people, and it really wasn't. No, and I had an interview scheduled today, and they just called me up, and they told me I was basically overqualified for the job. So I'm totally bummed out.
Oh, no. So remember, she was going out for a construction job. She talked to us last week, and it didn't work out. What about any other potential employment? Have you applied for anything?
I just applied today to a few jobs. Like I said, I had an interview scheduled, and they called up and told me I was basically overqualified, which I was happy. I don't want to waste my time in an interview if they're hiring for an entry-level position, because I wouldn't be happy doing that.
So she needs a job. Temp work? What about temp work for the time being?
I mean, I did have an agency call me for temp work, but I don't know. Usually, I don't do very well with temporary agencies. I always find that they just want to screen you to keep like an inventory, and then, you know what I mean? They make it seem like they have a job, and then you go down there, you do all this testing, and then it's just, to me, I don't know. I never have had, you know, good luck that way finding a job.
Well, Lena, I mean, I guess in the rough draft form, Chris and I will put out energy that you do get a job soon. So that comes from just the attitude of concern and support for you. As far as feeling something out, are you living, where are you now? Are you living in a home or an apartment?
I'm just living with a friend. I was saving up. I was getting ready to go rent an apartment the day before I got let go. So it was just ironic that I had to go and cancel my lease the day I lost my job because I didn't want to take the chance.
I'm sorry to interrupt, but is the friend in a home or in an apartment?
In an apartment.
Apartment.
Yeah, because I'm getting a sense of apartment with you. And so, one, you're living with a friend in an apartment, and then you were going to go into an apartment and sign a lease, and then you were let go. So there's something, the only thing that I'm looking at in rough draft form right now is the first chakra energy, meaning that there's something going on with your living situation that simultaneously is getting caught up in your job occupation. So the part of this is to further examine what your home situation is. I'm sorry?
No, because I lost my home 5 years ago, and I haven't been able to get my own place again, and I was just, you know, able to save up a little bit of money for a down payment, and then I lost my job. So it was like, I feel like I take one step forward and two back.
But you see, what's happening, Lena, is first of all, you lost your home before you lost your job. Why did you lose your home?
I couldn't afford to. I had lost my job, and I couldn't afford to rent anymore.
She lost the job first.
Or you lost the job first.
Yeah, I lost my. Yeah, 5 years ago, I lost my job, and then it was like a tunnel effect, and my kids had to go live with their dad, and I had to live with family for a few years. That didn't work out. I lived with friends, and just for 5 years, I have not been able to get back on my own feet, and then, you know, get my independence back, and it really bothered me because I don't want to live with people anymore. I want my own place.
Oh, yeah. The what I'm saying, this is like a root canal. It's like a situation, the first shock problems going on, not only in the attitude of you going, having gone through divorce, and there's some trouble there, and then you lose your home. This is all first chakra stuff. And so we have to look deeper. Yeah, she went outside. We have to look deeper into the element of where, what that root system, there's a corruption there, Lena. And we have to look deeper into the root system of your first chakra to see how to clean that out. It's a root problem. And so what you're trying to do above the surface is not really happening because it's a root problem. There's something rooted in your first chakra that keeps disrupting and corrupting your attitude of life. So we'd have to, you know, given time, maybe you can call back the show another time, but we'd have to go into the root system of your energy quickly, not a long-term thing, but and discover what it is that you're still holding on to that's causing this disruption. For instance, were you, again, like the other talk, well, not really like the other talk, but were you, did you grow up in a hostile environment?
Yeah, she did. She had a problem with her brother, who was your twin, right?
Yeah, my father was an alcoholic, and then my twin brother wound up being an alcoholic. He's still to this day, and he's, you know, he was on the verge too, lows and everything. So he's been able to stabilize.
And you were diminished in your home environment.
Pretty much, yeah. Right. I was the baby of the family with my twin, and we were, you know, even today I'm not close with my siblings. And when I lost my home, they pretty much disowned me because I, you know, was able to live with my niece for 2 years almost, and it was just very, very rough.
Well, you see, now at that point, Lena, what we would do is go from there backwards to see what brought that kind of situation into the world. But we have to keep traveling backwards into your soul to get to the root of the problem, which could involve a transference from this life to a former life to see where this is all coming from. And then that would involve a different set of standards into the questions. And some of those would, you know, maybe involve, would, like, for instance, were there any guns or weapons in the household on any level?
No, although my ex-husband, when I was married to him, he did have guns hidden, locked up, but he was a coward. He would never pull anything on me.
Yeah, he would never, but there were,
guns
in the house. So we'd have to start exploring that on a deeper level as quickly as we could to figure out how to get to the present stage where you can actualize yourself and feel comfortable about life. So that's where we have to kind of part right now.
Yeah, we're at the end of our show, Lena, but if you want to call back
on Wednesday,
we can maybe go into it a little bit further for you, okay?
Okay, thanks a lot. All right, bye-bye.
Take care. Okay, we're out of time, unfortunately, so we apologize to the callers we didn't get to today. And people have come in, you know, later. So, you know, it's not that they were compromised due to that problem we had, but we are back on the air on Friday. It's 9 a.m. Pacific, 12 p.m. Eastern. Thanks, callers.